love the Bears forever. I'm a season ticket holder, Section 251. I love the Chicago Bears. And when we heard the news this week, I knew we had to have this guy on the show. Jimbo Covert was one of the very best Chicago Bears to ever play the game. He was a great offensive tackle for the Chicago Bears, protected McMahon on many occasions, and helped us win a Super Bowl. He was just elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And Jimbo Covert joins us now. Congratulations, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, my man. How you doing?
You have to be riding a high all week. This is such great news. When did you find out, and did you know that it was going to happen?
Well, I had a kind of an idea that at least I had a chance. And so I was kind of on pins and needles for about a week after I got a chance to talk to Dan Pompey, and he said, well, he doesn't know the results either. So it was kind of a difficult week. And then I was in, you know, San Francisco working, and when they were announcing the selections, it was 7 a.m. in the morning. It was 4 o'clock in the morning in San Francisco. So I was up early watching the TV, and then I got a call from David Baker from the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Telling me I was in. So it was just... it was just an incredible moment.
So the announcement's made. You're riding a high. You have to, of course, call your family, right?
Right. I called my wife, Penny, immediately after that. And then I called my mom. And she's going to be 85 this year. So it's great to see that, she's going to be there for me to, get in the Hall of Fame. So I think that's really important to me. And then my family. And then my phone just blew up, about 300 texts and voicemails and everything like that. And I actually spent a good portion of the day on the way back on the plane returning as many the texts as I could. I think I got to all of them. So
that is so great.
If they took the time to text, then I have to take the time to return it. So I was it's if it means that much to people, and then it means that much to me, and they know it does. I want to make sure they know that I registered it. So
out of your former teammates, who were the most excited for you?
Well, I got a call from Dan Marino immediately because we were best friends, and we were teammates, and we live near each other down here in Florida and play golf all the time. So he was really excited, and Dan Hampton and Mike Hardenstein texted me. Just heard from Al Harris today, Richard Dent, Keith Van Horn, Jay Hilgenberg, Tom Thayer, they all texted me. And I got the greatest teammates in the world, and they've been really supportive of, when this thing came up. So it was great.
Man, I'm looking back at your career. Let's go through it real quick. UPI, first team All-State in high school. First team All-American at Pitt, drafted by the Bears in 83, 1985 NFLPA Offensive Lineman of the Year. You won a Super Bowl in 85, elected to the College Hall of Fame, top 100 Bears of all time, now elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, that's a pretty good resume.
Yeah, this is the one that topped it off, So I was just talking to my brother, and when you go through your career and there's little things that happen to you and you're like, well, maybe I could have done this differently, or maybe I could have played this game better, or maybe you feel like you were slighted in some area or not, all this wipes it all out. So you don't have to worry about anything anymore because you're in the Hall of Fame, and that's kind of the pinnacle of what a football player aspires to after winning Super Bowls, because that's the most important thing. And I was lucky enough to do that.
I've known Hamp for years. We worked together here at WGN, and I just asked him 2 weeks ago when we had him on the show. I'm like, Hamp, just one time, I want to see you wear the yellow jacket. Just once, wear it to the radio station, and he will never do it. He's like, no, it looks like I'm selling houses. That's his response.
Yeah. Well, first you got to have one to not want to wear it, right? So I don't have it yet. So when I get it, I'll probably want to wear it all the time. So it's a remarkable, experience that I'm just. I mean, the Super Bowl's coming up, and I got a call from the Hall of Fame, and they already have the itinerary and what you're supposed to be doing, and they're going to announce us during the game, the centennial class, all the guys are going to be there. And then, you get fitted for your gold jacket and your Hall of Fame ring and all that stuff on Monday. So, I mean, I got a you know, that Super Bowl week's going to be really, really busy for me. I'm looking forward to it.
We're talking with Jimbo Cover, just elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Who inducts you at the ceremony?
You know, I've already had that. People ask me that question. I haven't really given it that much thought. You know, I'm just, you know, I want to make sure that I take the time to just reflect on, you know, my career and people that have impacted me. And the one person that I would really want to do that is was my line coach at Pitt, Joe Moore, who I really felt was the reason that I got drafted as high as I did, the reason I made All-American at Pitt. When I switched from defensive line to offensive line, he was the guy after my he was the guy after my first practice, said, "You're going to be an All-American someday."
Wow.
I mean, he was just, awesome person.
Well, how did that go down? Because I remember, I couldn't remember his name, but I remember it was one of your coaches at Pitt that said, "You're going to go from defense to offense, and trust me, you're going to go to the NFL."
Well, it was kind of interesting, and now it's really, you know, I don't know, symmetry, I guess you want to call it, because the guy that recruited me in high school at Pitt to play defense was Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, wow.
And now Jimmy Johnson's going in the Hall of Fame, the same class that I am, which is kind of interesting. And then I was a defensive player there, and then he went to Oklahoma State, and then we had a starting left tackle, a guy named Bob Gruber, got drafted by the Rams, and they couldn't find a replacement for him. So I was playing defense. And then they came to me and asked me if I wanted to switch, and didn't want to, really. I wasn't real happy about it, but I did, and you know, the rest is history. So, you know, at first I thought I was going to regret it, but then, you know, I was with a group of guys, because when you're with a group of guys, the offensive line, you're like a family within a family. So, you know, the guys I played with at Pitt, you know, Russ Grimm, he's in the Hall of Fame, Mark May, who's with the Washington Redskins, Bill Frelick, Emo Boers, Rob Fay. I mean, all five of us started as rookies in the NFL.
Right.
So, I mean, we had a great line, and it was, you know, so you become close with those guys, and then, you know, you just, you know, it's a fraternity almost. So you just feel like now you're, in, you know, welcome to the club and a member of the club, and then it made me feel really at home. So that was great.
And the yellow jacket. When you come back to Chicago, you got to put that yellow jacket on and come up here to the radio station, man.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Do you have a second? Can we talk about your playing days behind the scenes? I want to know about the huddle in 85 with McMahon and Walter Payton. Did McMahon command the huddle, or were there other people talking in the huddle? Tell me what that was like.
Well, there's maybe a few guys talking just, you know, off to the side, but when he stepped in the huddle, everybody stopped talking, because he demanded the respect, and he got the respect because he proved it on the field. And, you know, it's just one of the things that, you know, I regret is that we just couldn't keep him healthy. And, you know, he was just the type of guy that, you know, I always tell people, if you look at Montana in the middle of his career, maybe at the beginning of his career, he was moving around, and they're about the same size physically. Not big, you know, they're not big guys, you know, they're 185, 190 pounds. And so, you know, you saw Montana, you know, the sack would get near him, he would just fall right down. You know, let's live the fight another day. I'll take the sack. Right. I'm just not going to scramble and get hurt. Well, Mac wouldn't like that, you know, so he wanted to say, well, I want to split this guy, and, you know, I can make a play here, and I can make it to the sideline and make a first down. And he never slid feet first. He always slid head first. And he just played that way. You didn't want to take that aggressiveness away, but you know, it also got him hurt too, as well. You know, and so that's the thing that we regret. Because if we could have kept him healthy, I really believe we could have won an additional Super Bowl, maybe even another one after that. But you know, you could say it's going to happen, but we needed him. I mean, he was the glue that held our whole offense together, and without him, you know, because Walter was great, and Walter was kind of the glue that held the whole team together. You know, McMahon was the glue that held our offense together, because we couldn't be one dimensional anymore. You know, we had to throw the ball down the field and do the things we needed to do, and without him, we couldn't do that.
Super Bowl 20, I want to say it was the first series when McMahon runs the ball and gets spun around in the air by the Patriots defenders. Did you think, oh my God, he's going down and that's it?
No, you know why? Because I didn't see it, but I saw it afterwards. I'm glad I didn't see it.
Wow.
I don't think there was anything that could kept him out of that game. You know, because if you recall that week, he had that bruise on his butt, you know, that was sticking out.
Oh,
and
yeah,
really nasty looking.
He mooned everybody.
Yeah, it was nasty looking, and I was surprised he was even able to practice that week, because he got it in the championship game. cuts beard or something. I don't know. And this thing, that thing was nasty looking. I thought, man, I'm surprised he can even run. But he did. He had a heck of a football game. And you know what? Richard Dent, I love him. I think he's one of the best defensive ends that ever played. And I think, you know, if I would have played him in a game, I'd probably say he's the best guy I ever played against. But, you know, Jim McMahon played a heck of a football game, and you could say he could have been MVP as well. Because of the way he played in that game. But, you know, our defense was so dominant. I think that's the way they were going to go regardless.
God, I love talking about 85. I just do, you know. Jimbo, congratulations, man. We couldn't be happier. I mean, talking to my brothers, we all grew up huge Bear fans, and the entire city is behind you. The city of Chicago couldn't be happier for Jimbo Covert.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, Chicago, when I came here to play you know, from Pittsburgh. I mean, Chicago is just like a bigger Pittsburgh with all the communities and ethnic communities and families. And, you know, they just welcomed me with open arms. And I just felt so at home when I came here. So, I mean, I think the world of all these people, there's fans, and Bear fans are the greatest in the world. And they've already supported me. So, I mean, it's, I hope a lot of them show up in Canton, too, because it's going to be a hell of a party. So, it'll be fun.
Well, when you get back to Chicago, we got to get you up here in the studio. But congratulations, and we'll be looking for you Super Bowl weekend.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. Appreciate having me on.
Take care, brother. Yeah. That is Jimbo Covert, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.